Mark DeDubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the precious, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm glad and so delighted to have you joining us for a few moments together as we look into the precious truths of the Word of the Eternal God. How wonderful it is that we have this privilege of studying God's Word together. For this is truth which Almighty God has preserved down through the ages since this book was written back in something like A.D. 33, just a few years after Christ died, was buried, and arose from the grave. And the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote this book, and it is for our benefit. It is for our spiritual growth and edification. And I trust, beloved, that you will make it a point to get into God's Word every day and to study the Word of the Lord and to let the Holy Spirit unlock its truth and open up your understanding. Remember, an individual that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior cannot understand the Bible. That's why many people that have so-called a higher education scoff at the Bible, because they do not understand it. It doesn't make any sense to them. And the reason is because they do not have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them. Because the Holy Spirit, remember, is our teacher. He's the one that unlocks the truth. You remember what the Lord Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 14, verse 26? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now the Holy Spirit does this, beloved. That's a part of his ministry today, to open up the truths of God's Word, to unlock the truths of God's Word. And those that would say there's contradictions in the Bible do not understand that there are no contradictions. The problem has to do with our thinking and with our understanding. That's where the difficulty comes in, or in the translation. There's not contradictions in the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's the one who opens up our eyes. He's the one who instructs us and grants us the wisdom of God. Now, I want you to notice a wonderful passage of Scripture over in 1 Corinthians. If you will look with me over there to 1 Corinthians, we begin in verse 1, or chapter 1 rather, and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. You see, the world doesn't understand what church is all about. To the world, church is just some kind of religious ritual that you go through. They don't understand that you go there to be fed the truths of God's Word and to grow spiritually in the knowledge of the true and the living God. And verse 19, for it is written, well, let me read verse 18 again, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. God's Word and the cross of the Lord Jesus, It's the power of God because it convicts of sin and opens our understanding that we needed a Savior and how terrible sin is and why Christ died on that old rugged cross. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, to the world, preaching is a waste of time. It's foolishness. They don't understand what it's about. But it's the means by which the gospel is presented and by which the lost and dying are drawn to the Lord Jesus through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so the world by wisdom knew not God. You see, through man's wisdom, he rules out God. And sad to say, that's what's going on in the United States of America today. The United States of America has put down the Ten Commandments. There was a time when the Ten Commandments were in the schoolroom. There was a time when the Ten Commandments were displayed in public places. But now the Ten Commandments has been considered to be wrong, and it should not be in public places. And it's not according to the rules of the Constitution. Well, it's people that don't know the Constitution of the United States that say that, because there's nowhere in the Constitution of the United States that it puts down the Ten Commandments, and it puts down the proclamation of the Word of God. People have been deceived by Satan. They've fallen into the lies of Satan and the so-called wisdom of this world system. And James tells us in the book of James about the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God, that there's two different kinds of wisdom. And the wisdom of the world is altogether different from the wisdom of God. And so you have to be careful concerning earthly wisdom that it doesn't lead you away from God. In James chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. James chapter 2, and James is a little short book in front of the book of Revelation, in front of 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. James is in front of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. And so this is another little short book called the Book of James, written by the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the first pastor of the church in Jerusalem, and all of it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, James wrote, "Who is wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation," meaning an old English word conversation, referring to his manner of living, "his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." This wisdom, bitter envying and strife, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. How many times, beloved, we see Satan get into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and cause confusion, cause envying, cause strife, cause division, cause little cliques of people to get together and stand against another little group of people. And it grieves the Holy Spirit of God because it's devilish wisdom, it's earthly wisdom. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You see, God's wisdom's altogether different from the wisdom of this world, earthly wisdom. And so earthly wisdom, by wisdom, he says here in 1 Corinthians, by wisdom man knew not God. This earthly wisdom turns man from God. And so where is the wise? Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek for wisdom. The Greeks picture the Gentiles. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Yes, beloved, the Lord is the wisdom of God. If you'll go to verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he tells us, but of him, speaking of God. Verse 28, and, well, let's go back, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. You see, God's way is so different from man's way. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 tells us that God's ways are above our ways as far as the heavens are above the earth. God sees things from an entirely different perspective than the way man sees things. And that's why God can take the little things, the base things, the small things, and confound man in his wisdom and in his knowledge. It's amazing what little these little insects can do. Little insects can eat up a building, a wooden building, and cause the wooden building to fall apart. The little insects that God has created, and it confounds people, it amazes people what he can do with these little things, insignificant things, things that seem small and insignificant to man, that God can use to glorify himself to his glory. Bye for now.